Forecast for today, hopefully decreasing clouds, and we'll have a high around the mid of the upper 50s. Longtime Milwaukee banking executive Jim Popp taking over as the new president of Johnson Bank and executive vice president of the Racine-based Johnson Financial Group. The Milwaukee Business Journal has Popp having left his post in February at J.P. Morgan Chase after nearly three decades with the New York City-based banking and financial services firm. During his time with that company, he was the president of Chase in Wisconsin and Minnesota, plus the managing director of Chase Middle Market Banking in Wisconsin. Sturdivant's Plan Commission to meet at 6 o'clock tonight at the Village's Municipal Building. Among the items on the agenda, conditional use permits for operation of the Grand Appliance Warehouse and corporate headquarters on Enterprise Way, also for operating the Gates Collision and Vehicle Repair Center on Highway 20. And there's an amendment to Racine Unified's conditional use permit for operation of the Real School and Sportsplex in Renaissance Business Park. It covers about 200 miles around southern Wisconsin. It has close to a dozen specific destinations. It includes two in Racine, one in Wind Point. It's the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail, officially now open with a ribbon cutting at one of Wright's crown jewels, the S.C. Johnson Complex. Governor Walker there noting that for some, Frank Lloyd Wright is considered the greatest architect who ever lived. State Tourism Secretary Stephanie Klett said this is huge for Wisconsin.
It'd be tough to do this whole trail in just one trip. You'd need a good couple weeks. So they know, we know, that they're going to take a few days in Racine, then they're going to go to Milwaukee, they're going to hit Madison. You got to go to Richland Center because, of course, he was born there in the A.D. German warehouse, which to me looks like a Mayan ruin. It's so cool. And then you've got to go to Spring Green, and there's three different attractions right there. So folks are going to be coming back over and over again.
The state tourism website, in fact, has detailed information about the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail. Governor Walker also praising the collaboration with the App Factory at UW Parkside for creating the Frank Lloyd Wright Trail app. It has all nine sites, and the governor said it's so easy to use, even he downloaded it onto his phone without any help. The Summers Village Board meeting this week, it included some rather heated discussion about the Summers House Bar on Sheridan Road and a special license to allow midget wrestling this coming weekend, which left a few ears ringing, and Village President George Stoner now demanding a public apology from Trustee Joseph Cardinale. That apology would be to the family that owns the bar, according to the Kenosha News, which noted a verbal confrontation after the meeting between Cardinale and three members of the family. Prior to the vote to approve the license, Cardinale claimed that opponents were afraid to attend the meeting for fear of retaliation. He also used the term gangsters in a reference to the coach's family. The village board has a work session next Tuesday night. Henning's Cheese, based in Keel, Wisconsin, voluntarily recalling its Colby Jack cheese because of a temporary pasteurizer malfunction, creating no way to verify proper pasteurization. No illnesses have been reported. No other Henning's Cheese products are affected by the recall. Four fallen Wisconsin law enforcement officers, one from Kenosha County, remembered at the Kenosha Law Enforcement Memorial Service. The keynote speaker, Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Former Town of Salem Director of Public Safety Dave Shortis paid a rather emotional tribute to Officer Michael Ventura, who died in a car accident last July.
Josh's death was sudden and unexpected without details of how or why the accident occurred. I have been told to take life day by day and celebrate the great memories of life with Josh as a son, husband, friend, co-worker, and as a law enforcement professional.
135 officers killed nationwide in the line of duty last year. Racine's ceremony coming up Monday morning. One local obituary, Dolores Hazel Miller of Racine, at the age of 82, passed away on May the 9th. Funeral services coming up Saturday at 12:30 p.m. at Lutheran Church of the Resurrection on Ohio Street. Friends and relatives can meet with the family Friday at the Marsh Meredith and Ackman Funeral Home beginning at 4 p.m., and then again Saturday at the church starting at 11:30 in the morning. The Green Tree Center at Douglas Avenue at 4 Mile Road in Caledonia has been purchased by a Cincinnati-based commercial real estate investment group with a history of buying grocery-anchored shopping centers here in the Badger State. Phillips Edison & Company buys the shopping center anchored by Pick & Save and the big Kmart from Oak Brook, Illinois-based IRC Retail Center. The purchase price, $12 million. Phillips Edison owns more than 340 retail properties around the country, seven of them here in Wisconsin. Racine-based S.C. Johnson has announced the renaming of its insect science research centers in both Racine and Shanghai, China, to the S.C. Johnson Institute of Insect Science for Family Health. Also, the creation of new research facilities in locations that will be announced later. Insect-borne diseases continue to be a serious threat to families all over the world. That according to Chief Executive Fisk Johnson. SC Johnson also renaming its flagship center in Racine to honor Imogene Powers Johnson, the wife of the late Sam Johnson, Fisk Johnson's mother. The Sierra Club of Wisconsin says the right to safe drinking water is being challenged these days still. It's put out a series of white papers on issues facing the state, unveiling a report on lead contamination in Racine at the Laurel Clark Memorial Fountain. Among those who spoke, Sarah Clemens, the City of Racine Health Department, says because 95% of the city's housing was built before 1978 when lead paint was phased out, that paint is one of the main causes of lead poisoning in Racine.
Our main concern when it comes to lead poisoning in children is the lack of testing among children under the age of 6. Recent census data suggests that over 8,000 children are under the age of 6 in the city of Racine. However, there were only 2,500 children tested for lead in 2016. In the month of April, not one child in the city of Racine was tested for the first time for lead.
Mike Kosterman with the Racine Water Utility noting the city's been adding chemicals to the water for better than 30 years to reduce the amount of lead getting into it, but removing the lead laterals, that would be the best option, though a very expensive one.
At about $5,000 to $6,000 per removal, Racine's cost is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million. And again, this is going to be a very expensive, time-consuming process. It's not going to all happen at once. So we're kind of awaiting what the EPA is going to come up with as far as the lead and copper rule.
The organization advocating for testing for all children in daycare, schools, public education sites, requiring landlords to test for lead and to disclose the results to tenants. Some of the same opponents to the city of Racine selling less than an acre of Pierce Woods to Fisher USA for an expansion of their business back at City Hall for a Plan Commission public hearing on the requested rezoning. And they used the same arguments from back in February on the sale issue, which the Common Council already approved. The current zoning is R3 Limited General Residence. Requested is I1 Restricted Industrial for that 10,000 square foot expansion. The opponents, like Mike Peterson, again saying that Fisher's president, Ryan Brath, should either run a second shift or buy the vacant building next door and tear it down for the expansion. A rezoning ordinance will be getting to a final public hearing before the council and a vote on June the 6th. Twin Disc closing an India manufacturing plant, according to a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, the company making that move as it continues to restructure its operation. They're called Big R Stores. They date back to 1964, the first opening up in Watseka, Illinois. And now 53 years later, that company looking to set up shop in Wisconsin for the very first time, in Burlington's former Kmart location at the Fox River Plaza. Farm and ranch store owners in western states began the Big R brand to convey the ranch identity. The law must still be obeyed even if you have a disaster. Among the reasons why Racine City Attorney Scott Letney is one of those participating in this week's training for Racine County crews at FEMA's Emergency Management Institute in Maryland. He served in the Air Force for 21 years in operational planning. Says disaster planning brings a little bit different perspective, but it makes sense to have attorneys involved in the process. Feels municipalities should be taking part in this kind of training more often.
It's important to exercise for emergencies so when the time comes, we're prepared. Police and fire, the protective services, they do this kind of thing often, but the rest of the government doesn't tend to practice as much as we should.
He notes there is a role for lawyers in disaster planning, noting their job really is just to advise.
Remember that, you know, we're often called counselors, not just attorneys. So we provide advice from the broad perspective that we have. But there are specific rules that apply to emergency management. The municipality, the city of Racine, has ordinances regarding emergency management. There are state laws that are applicable to emergency management and the powers of local government during emergencies.
Today is the focus on the recovery from the tornado scenario they dealt with this week. It's a tabletop exercise. 71 people from Racine County have been participating in the training in Emmitsburg. Starting next Monday, the city of Kenosha will start repairs to the streetcar rails, putting the streetcar line out of service until at least next Thursday. Repairs going to be needed at the switch station near the Transit Center on 54th Street and along Ring Road east of the Civil War Museum. Transit Director Ron Iwin says there have been no major repairs done to the streetcar rails since the operation began back in the year 2000. More than a dozen investors and supporters of a proposed wild root market at 500 Walton Avenue on the northeast side of Racine showed up for the City Plan Commission meeting and just a simple procedural move toward amending the city's comprehensive plan. Deputy Development Director Matt Sadowski explained the next steps would include preparing an ordinance for a public hearing.
We'll be going to the County Council on May 16th, Plan Commission review May 31st, and if need be on June 14th, in culmination with everything, with the comprehensive plan amendment being wrapped up at a public hearing at the Common Council on June 20th.
He also noted the site will have to be rezoned to allow for the store under what is known as a flex overlay. Racine's Redevelopment Authority meets at 6 o'clock tonight at City Hall. Among the items on the agenda, a couple of HVAC funding requests for help with the new White Box program on separate properties at 408 and 420 Main Street downtown, and an update from Development Director Amy Conley about the Phase 1 study on the proposed hotel and event center. Beer gardens cropping up all around southeast Wisconsin these days. Kenosha County's to open in a Petrifying Springs location in a few weeks at the start of Memorial Day weekend. And it's about the same time for the Milwaukee County Zoo to get one. County Executive Chris Abley says the zoo is also adding a new concessions menu beginning that same weekend. Coming this fall, it'll be completion of the zoo's new entrance off 106th Street. And the head of United Way Worldwide praising United Way of Racine County as one of the most effective community impact organizations in the country. That was during a keynote speech at an international conference in Orlando, Florida. Brian Gallagher highlighting United Way of Racine County's continuing work toward gathering groups of citizens every year and discussing issues that matter the most to them, community conversations. They've been taking place since 2013. Later this summer, United Way of Racine County will be hosting Tiffany Janna, CEO, author, and international public speaker at TMI Consulting. She'll keynote the annual Community Conversations meeting at which findings from this past year's conversations will be presented. Our forecast coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.